stand and sing Christ Arose. I didn't do this with the first service because I figured, oh, they might not be awake, but y'all got to be awake now, so. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That was kind of weak. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Savior together, Lord, but may it not be just one day a year, but may we glorify you and honor you all throughout the year and remember that that grave is empty, that our Savior is risen. We serve a risen and living Savior. Thank you, Lord, for that. Bless this time of worship and praise. May you be honored and glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll sing your praises. sins away, O God. You gave your life away for us. You came down, you saved us through the cross. Our hearts are changed because of your great love. You live, you die, you said in 3 days you would rise. You
come
death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, your silence a boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name. Name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is.
Amen. You may be seated. Powerful name. Any prayer requests, praises you'd like to share this morning? Nancy. All right. Jeremy in the Middle East. All right, safety. Yes, Roy. Kathy has a hurting back. Yes, Arlene. That would be a good thing. Salvations. Diane is home. We go to Rochester on Tuesday. She has a treatment. And then a blood draw, and she meets with the team that is in charge of everything, and we might learn a little bit more about when her transplant will be. But when we find out, you will find out. Yes, Judy. Family is special. Celebration. Miss Candy.
My brother-in-law was in the hospital. He didn't have any kind of stroke, but he has some kind of artery that's bleeding. So he has to see a specialist. He's not allowed to bend over. He can only walk up five steps. He hurts himself. So it's going to really hurt.
Absolutely. Pray for Jim for his salvation and his bleeding artery. Sid.
I praise God for the opportunity that he gave in fellowship with my family in Christ.
Your smile always lifts us up. We are glad that you're able to be here. Nancy. Nancy, you raised your hand. All right. Nancy and back spasm. Sam.
I praise the Lord for Sid. I know what a blessing she is to people over the years.
Absolutely.
And we're glad that she's here also. And also pray for Jan. And I want to thank the family here that prays for Jan.
Okie dokie, Mr. John. Travis Reeves. Okay. Let's sing the prayer chorus.
One more, Pastor.
Yes, sir. Families in Sri Lanka. Okie dokie. Father, we bend our knee to you this morning, thanking you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And Lord, many people can say that. Many people have the hope of eternal life, the hope in this world of realizing that we have a God who cares for us, loves us. Jesus intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit takes our prayer and takes it to you, brings it to the very throne of God. And Lord, you take care of business. And we're so very thankful that we can take these few moments as a church family, lift up these requests that have been mentioned. We think of Jeremy and we pray for his safety. Lord, we're reminded in the Old Testament where Elijah said, take note, look up, those who are for us are more than those who are against us. And that servant was able to see all those chariots of fire. And we would pray for Jeremy that there would just be a host of heavenly angels about this man. We lift up Kathy to you in her pain, and Jim with the bleeding artery, and Nancy with the back spasms, and Jan, and Lord Diane, and Candy, and various ones who have different ailments. Nothing takes you by surprise. Lord, they certainly pull the rug out from underneath us. And our bodies are pretty frail, as we find out about. But in you, you strengthen the inner person. So we would pray for each individual that you would strengthen them with the power of the resurrection that lifted Jesus up out of that grave, that gave him newness of life. And Lord, we thank you that we can have that newness of life as well. We lift up Travis Rees to you in that infection and the families over in Sri Lanka. Lord, work mightily You are the God of this creation that you created. And we just ask that you would move amongst all these different requests. We're so very thankful for our church and the various ministries that are represented. And we certainly ask for your anointing upon each area. And we certainly pray for the salvation of souls, that people would come to know Christ as their Savior, as their Lord, as their King, as their Master, and just see their life be transformed. So we commit them to you and ask that you would do it even in our midst right here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, one more time we say thank you for allowing us to partner with you, to trust you with our monies, to do the work of ministry, not only in this place, but around the community, around the world. And we ask your blessing upon it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 20. We'll be reading verses 1 through 18. John chapter 20. Jesus rescued me. I hope you can say that as well. It's certainly true with the lady we're going to look at this morning. Verse 1 begins, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" And thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them what he had said these things to her. Father, as we ponder these scriptures one more time, as we look into your word, as we celebrate the empty tomb this morning, we would ask for your a fresh anointing upon this service, and that your truth would penetrate our hearts, and we would leave here different than when we had come in. In Jesus' name, amen. Several times in this portion of Scripture, Mary Magdalene's name had been mentioned. Who was this lady? Who was Mary? Not every gospel account of Christ's life, death and the resurrection focus on the same events. As you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's like turning a little diamond and you get a little different facet of what it's talking about, a different event that is significant to that writer. But all four Gospels mentions Mary's witness to Christ's crucifixion and burial. Her connection to Jesus was undeniable. The healing that took place in her life on the account of his miraculous presence inspired the rededication of life to serve him, to follow him, to his burial until she could no longer physically see him. She was there. And Mary's desperate longing to be close to Christ, to serve him in any way she could, became the passion by which she lived out her faith. She knew she wouldn't be able to have this life, to be able to live without him. And what Mary lived daily in her faith is the type of faith that we should be living out as well. What was so special about Mary Magdalene? Who was she? And what happened to her after the resurrection? What took place? First off, we have to realize that Mary passionately followed Christ. Passionately. In the very first verse that we read this morning, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary was the one who went to the tomb early, saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Well, when and where did this passion for Jesus take over her life? For all of us, including her, we're not born naturally with a passion to follow Christ. A matter of fact, it's just the opposite. We're born with a sin nature. We want to please ourselves, not passionately please Jesus. So there had to be a turning point in her life. And Luke, the Gospel of Luke, tells us what that turning point was in her life. Jesus traveled about from town to town, village to village, one to the other, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. There the 12 disciples were following him. We read about it all through the New Testament, the various places that he went, teaching them, instructing the disciples. In Luke, it tells us that Mary Magdalene was one of those that were following him. It tells us that Mary Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Johanna, the wife of Cus, the manager of Herod's household, was there. Susanna and many others were there. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. So Mary was one of the many that was trucking along with Jesus as he was doing ministry up to this passion point, up to the crucifixion. She was there. She was a Jewish lady from the fishing town of Magdala on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. And as you read through the Gospels, her name is mentioned 12 times in this event. More than some of the apostles' names are written. Mark and Luke record the healing of the demons from Mary's life in their Gospel account. So as we think of being rescued, Jesus rescuing her, think about her life for a moment before she met Christ. While the demons were active in her life, what did her life entail? Think of the fear. Think of the emotional and the emotions that ran wild in her thinking. What she could do, what she couldn't do. Psychologically, you know, tormenting her. Fear of if she might act out. Remember the boy that the disciples couldn't cast out, and they brought him to Jesus and they said, "Why can't we?" And he said, "This kind doesn't come out but by prayer and fasting," and he delivered. The boy threw himself into the fire. And remember Legion in the tombs cutting himself? They put him in chains and he broke the chains. Mary Magdalene, what was going on in her life as these demons controlled her? Jesus comes along, takes care of the problem, solves her issues, brings healing to her body. Prior to that, she had lost all control, the dignity, everything that she might have known in her previous life. We don't know when all that took place, whether it was an adult, whether she grew up that way. All we know is that Jesus touched her, made her whole. And what she was doing at that point in her life, she was looking forward towards the crucifixion, the resurrection. What we do, we look back at it now. Her hope was in the future. Our hope is in what Jesus has already done. Only one can speculate all the things that took place as she lived her life that way. But not only did he recognize her, Jesus, he commanded the demons to leave her, be gone. And she became that new person to be able to serve him. You know, not all the details are recorded pertaining to her, this event about the demons being able to come out. But one thing we do know, the man in the tombs didn't have a name. They called it Legion because there were many. The boy was just the boy. But Mary's name is recorded as one being healed. The friendship that was forged, the freedom that she had after this, her whole life, she turned to Christ and started to passionately follow him with a grateful heart. And she did it with whatever means she had. In verse 3, it tells us that she was helping support them out of their own means. Not only her, but these other women. So it reminds us and it tells us that when Jesus gets our heart, he gets our pocketbook, he gets our possessions, he gets our time. He should get it all. And that took place in Mary's life. And we begin to get a glimpse of her passion for Christ. Her life was transformed, renewed, redeemed when he touched her. Jesus has a way of changing the way that we think when we come to Christ. Changes our behaviors, what we think on, how we behave, our priorities, our principles, everything. It changes. It gets funneled down. It gets conformed to how the Bible tells us that we should live. And she was involved in his work while they traveled around. She couldn't get enough of Christ. Wanted to be with him all the time. We see that as she went there early in the morning to get to the tomb. And while he hung on the cross, she stood at the distance while he suffered in blood. Can you imagine the love that she had for Christ, the passion that she had for him as we read about this? And then to see the person who redeemed her, who rescued her, hanging on that cross, being insulted, ridiculed, prior to that being beaten, it certainly was a difficult time for her. And she just stood there. And she stayed there until they took him down and carried him to the tomb. When everybody else left, she was still there, not wanting to leave, wondering what's going to take place next. Where are they going to take Jesus? I want to know. And she followed him. So she knew where the tomb was. And early in the morning, on that first day, she went there. Luke's gospel tells us she brought spices so that she could prepare the body for the funerals. Well, in our text this morning, in John's Gospels, listen to this account, beginning in verse 6. We read through it. You've read through it several times, probably. You might have overlooked this little jewel. Beginning with verse 6, it says that Simon Peter, who was behind him, John, they were running to the tomb, arrived. And Peter went into the tomb. So he's in there. He saw the strips of the linen lying there with the burial cloth being around. The cloth was folded up separate. Finally, the other disciple, John, who got there first, he also went inside. So both of them are inside where Jesus was. And then they left. In verse 10, it says the disciples went back to their homes. In verse 11, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying as she wept. Mary was there. She saw Jesus was gone. She wanted to be able to prepare the body. And it says she wept. And as I think of her weeping, think of a time that you really sobbed. Crying. big old alligator tears coming down your cheeks. Loud. That's what was going on in Mary Magdalene's life at that time. Her eyes were all blurry. And she was weeping. Well, she bent over and looked in, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, one other at the foot. Reminds us of the angels. Why didn't Peter and John see these angels that were there that Mary saw? It was only a matter of moments. They left, they looked in there, they didn't see no angels. They just saw the linens. When Mary went there, peeked in, the two angels were there, and she's sobbing and weeping because she wanted to see Jesus. He was gone. And they ask her, "Why are you crying? Well, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" She said, "Just tell me where he is." And out of the corner of her eye, she sees this other figure. Remember, she's crying, she's weeping, she can't see real good. And that person says, "Well, who are you looking for? Why are you crying? Just tell me where he is and I will go get him." And then Jesus calls her by name, Mary. Imagine the joy that that woman had. Mary. And she sees it's the Christ that she loves who rescued her from her old life. And she wants to run over there and give him a great big hug. And she says, "No! Not yet. I haven't gone to my Father and your Father, my God, your God. Go tell my brothers." Oh, how she loved Jesus. And as I think about how much the passion that Mary had and the love that she had for Christ, I thought, how could we gauge that? How many of you have ever had what is probably referred to in a few different ways? One would be a mood ring or a passion ring, maybe a love ring. Changes colors with your mood. Spouses might enjoy that because then they would know whether their spouse was stone cold or hot. Do I make a move or don't I? Think of your spiritual life, though. Suppose each and every one of us had a love, a passion ring on for Christ. Would it be blue, stone cold? Would it be yellow? I think of him once in a while. He's okay. I'm saved. No big deal. I'm on my way to heaven. Or is it like Mary's that was red hot? Passionate, couldn't get enough of Jesus, wanted to be around him, waited there all day long during his hours of dying, being there in the very beginning at the tomb. Something to think about, your passion level. Well, her passion leads her. Mary is obediently. She shares the good news as Jesus told her to do. He tells her, "Don't hold on to me. I haven't returned to my Father. Go instead to my brothers. Tell them I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God, to your God. Go tell them." Matthew says it this way, "Go quickly and tell the disciples. He is risen from the dead. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. Go tell my brothers." That was what she was hearing from her Savior. And Mary went, and she did tell the others what she had heard and saw. Guess what? That's our responsibility now, to go and tell about the empty tomb, about the resurrection, about the hope of eternal life, about the hope that we have in the midst of hard times. Do you have that type of passion this morning as Mary did? Has he touched your life? Has he changed the way that you think? Are you a new person in Christ this morning? Are you passionate about the things of eternal life? Does it concern you about family members? We were visiting with family yesterday, and one of my nieces was sitting next to me, and they had just gone to the Ark. And there's a big door there, and evidently a video and tells about the door closing. And I looked over to her, and I said, "Have you come through the gate? Have you come through the door?" And she says, "I hope so." And I said, "If you're only hoping so, probably you haven't. You're scaring me." "Yes, I have." Maybe she'll think about that. But are we telling people? Do we want to stay close to Christ? Do we want to be around Him? Or is it, maybe, maybe not. It's okay if I make it or I don't make it. Has Christ got your pocketbook, your possessions, your priorities, as He did with Mary? All of those things. Mary had given it all to Him. And Mary shared. And remember this. We are responsible to people. Mary was responsible to go tell the brothers, the disciples. Tell them what you have seen. We're responsible to people, not for people. We can't make them make that decision. We're responsible to them, but not for them. Mary learned a hard lesson with that. Her efforts in sharing the good news isn't believed. There wasn't great joy in jumping up and down. In Luke, it is read here, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary the mother of James, the others with them who told the apostles. They did not believe the women because their words seemed like to them nonsense. Nonsense. As you're sharing the good news of the gospel, there are going to be people that think, "That's nonsense. I don't believe it." Some people's hearts are hard. Well, in that instance, the disciples got rebuked by the one who was raised from the dead. Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating after they had said, "Sounds like nonsense to me." He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. Stubborn refusal. That's why we are responsible to people and not for them, because they will also stubbornly refuse, many people. Thomas states, one of the disciples there, "Unless I see Him and touch Him, I will not believe." How often have you heard something like that from people? "If Jesus does this, if God does that, then I will accept Him." He doesn't do things on our terms. He's laid out the map. He's proven Himself. We have to do it His way. And His way is to repent of our sin, is to accept the risen Savior. To be able to invite Him into our life, to be able to trust Him wholeheartedly. That's His way. He doesn't have to make the sky blue or the rain to come when you want it to. That's all His business. Our is to trust and obey. There's no other way. All of the evidence points to the truth of the Bible. All the evidence. You all rack it together. He was crucified, He was buried, He rose from the grave, He lives today. The Roman centurion that was there, he got it right when he said, "Truly this must be the Son of God." He got it right. And through Mary's eyes, we learn a little bit more about who this Jesus was. He found her in the dark place in her life, being demon-possessed. Life turned upside down, ravaged. And then Jesus comes in. and changes her life. Some of your lives have been like that. He came in and he changed it. Some of you may have to make that decision. She was one of his friends, faithful follower. Her actions speak loud of her trust in him. And to what she thought was the bitter end, she gave her life to follow him and to care for him. First one to the tomb, last one leaving, weeping, sobbing over what had taken place. Her passion was real. And she was faithful in sharing the good news. And Jesus bids that of us today, to go out and share the good news. Last chapter of Matthew, the Great Commission here. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Isn't it good news that we serve a risen Savior? He's in the world today. And no matter what the hard news is, the bad news that we experience, Jesus is right there with us. He's right there in those meetings that you have with people, helping, guiding, strengthening the inner person, helping you through the difficult times. Some people think of eternal life as just heaven. And as good as that is, eternal life begins when we accept Christ. Mary Magdalene had that from the time that she looked for that hope and she lived it out till the very end. Don't let this Easter 2019 be like any other Easter. You've come and listened and enjoyed the service. But allow this Easter to transform your life, to be able to energize that passion that maybe you once had and through the course of seasons it's dwindled. Let the Holy Spirit just blow on those embers. Get your ring so hot you want to take it off. Father, we certainly rejoice with Jesus. Indeed, he has risen from the grave. He's in the world today, and we can rejoice in knowing him, allowing him to work in us and through us, helping us with those big decisions, empowering us to be able to handle hard times. And Father, if anybody here this morning hasn't accepted that free gift of salvation, help them to do that today. To repent of their sin, to say, I'm sorry for my sin, to invite Christ to come into their life, to make them a new person in you, to start out fresh. The old is gone and the new has come. Help us to have that passion that Mary Magdalene had. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand and close with Death Was Arrested.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, oh. shame was a ransom, he faithfully paid. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began, oh, your grace so free washes over. Rejoices, oh heaven, arose. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life.
Boy, you could get hoarse singing that song. That was a good one. Lord, we thank you for Resurrection Sunday. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. I thank you for my church family. And God, I ask your blessing upon their life. Watch over and keep them in the name of Jesus. Amen.